Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365. Camp reporting day for the Philadelphia Eagles, Scott Grayson. We are here, man. The 2024 season is upon us. Welcome to the show, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good to be here, guys. Thank you.
Good to see you, Scott. First of all, the important news. Did your son win the big tournament?
They had a good showing. Went 4-1 and just missed the playoffs due to some tiebreakers. But they did well. They played well.
There should be no tiebreakers in
this. No, right?
No crying, no tiebreakers.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it. Good to see you, buddy. We're here, as Xander said. Where's Scott Grayson? I asked Bill Colarulo, was on the show in the first hour with us. I'm going to ask you. It's difficult, but I want you to try to do this, Scott. Put the coaching aside. I don't want to talk about that yet. And if you go back to free agency, when you entered free agency with this team, do you think the Eagles are better from a player perspective? Or is that a little bit overrated when you lose the Kelce's and Reddick's and Fletcher Cox's of the world?
You know, I think it's a great question. And so you're saying free agency and draft, yes?
Yeah. Everything.
I think, you know, I want to say they are. You know, we all, I think, get really attached to these guys, especially the Kelce's and those kind, and the Fletcher Cox's. But, you know, Father Time is always victorious. He will always win. And I think in this league, you have to continue to get younger if you want to succeed. And at some point, you have to be willing to part with guys. Now, thankfully, in some cases, you know, and I would rather they had Kelce for one more year. But some of these guys, they decide to move on and that it's time to retire on their own. I just think you look at the additions that they had. The Saquon Barkley is definitely an upgrade in my mind. I know there's a lot of people who are nervous about Cam Jurgens. I'm putting faith in Jeff Stoutland here. I know you said not to consider the coaching, but just in terms of the player, the player should be ready. He's had time to get ready for this role that he was drafted really for. And so I just look at this team and I just expect them to be better. And I mean, you go a step further and you say, okay, well, look at what they got rid of. Look at the players that they chose not to bring back. And it makes you wonder about the internal dynamics of that locker room last season that led to that collapse and how the front office chose to try to rectify some of that. And I just think that these guys are ready for a clean slate. They're ready for a new book to write in and a new chapter, you know, if you will, to start writing this book that will be the 2024-25 season. And I think, you know, I'm excited to see what this group can do together.
Scott, I want to take you down a path. We were just talking about it. It's one of the things that's been talked about probably the most this offseason. It's a whole new look at cornerback. You know, you got a lot of young guys in the room, a lot of potential in that room. We're 45 days away, Scott, from that opening game. Who's going to be the starting cornerback opposite Darius Slay in week one?
I'll tell you what, man, that is the million-dollar question, right, Xander? I think you look at this, and that is going to be by far, I think, the best competition throughout camp because it's such a deep position that they have right now. There's not enough room on the roster to keep them all. So there is going to be a lot of good position battles taking place there for the different spots, you know, that come in these packages at defensive back. Sure, you know, who's going to start opposite Darius Slay? I'll tell you what, I'm not sold on it being Bradberry. I just haven't been since they got some of these younger guys in. I think it'd be great to put a young guy opposite a veteran like Darius Slay. Let one of these guys like a Cooper DeJean or Quinyon Mitchell maybe take one of those spots. But they're so deep there, and I think it's one of the luxuries they have to be able to say, all right, guys, here it is. Go fight it out for some playing time and see where the chips fall. I think it's going to be a fascinating battle to watch, and unfortunately, we won't see a lot of it play out in preseason games just the way it is, but I think some of those guys are going to have to play in preseason games, and I think it's a great opportunity to get the feet wet for some of the younger players, but I think that's going to be something fascinating to watch. And who takes the side opposite of Darius Slay in Brazil? Man, I think that's a great question to ask, and I have no idea who's going to win that battle.
Hey, you know, it's interesting you bring up Bradberry. I'm stunned that he's here. Here we are. How he keeps kicking this can down the road. I mean, at some point he's going to hit the wall at the end of the block. But, I mean, I don't see how it helps because you have all these young corners and you want to evaluate Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and Isaiah Rogers. And you know James Bradberry's not going to be the starting cornerback. In fact, the Eagles wanted to move him to safety in minicamp, and he hurt his oblique early, we think. and they went about it that way, and here we are. And I'm thinking to myself, Scott, boy, Howie really wants this conditional six-round pick really, really bad. Is it worth it? Because if he's here, there's two concerns. One, Vic Fangio might go, hey, this guy knows how to play, whereas these young guys are running around like young guys, and this guy knows how to play. And two, you're taking reps away from those young. Every rep he's out there, whether it's at safety or corner, even at safety, you're taking away from Mekhi Gardner, Tristan McCollum, or young players. Why? Conditional six-round pick? Come on.
Right, and I'll go a step further for you, John. First of all, I agree with you on reps being one of the biggest things that I think is so key for these younger guys that he will take away. But look, he's a human being. He has feelings. He has, a life. Too. And
he's a good guy, too. Yeah,
he is. But you got to wonder, you know, as your feelings get tarnished, you feel like you're kind of being used, which is what, Howie would be doing here, using him. What does that do to the locker room? What does that do to the DB room? What does that do to some of the intangibles taking place behind the scenes that you're trying to fix from last year? You're almost creating an opportunity for this to start, at least in that room, degrading a little bit in terms of a guy who could have a bad attitude. He's a good guy. One of the things I appreciate is he always stood in front of his locker and he would answer questions, even though, you know, they were going to be uncomfortable ones. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm shocked he's here, and I don't like the idea of him taking any reps away from somebody when you know he's not going to be lining up on Sunday out there for any meaningful snaps. I would be shocked if he did. So, what they're doing with that one is kind of head-scratching. But anytime Howie thinks he can have a pawn in the game of chess that they play out there,
that's true.
He will hold it and hold it and hold it.
To me, Sam Hinkie in this and the fact that he's trying to win it at all costs. And I'm like, you know, sometimes you just lay up, tin cup it, you know, don't go for the hole.
Right. Say,
all right. What is a conditional six round pick going to do for me versus getting these players ready? And I'm glad you brought up the human aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that's big.
I think it not only everything you brought up, Scott, but also it signals to other players a bad it's a bad signal to other
players. Don't want that reputation. And no organization wants that. And, you know, and look, more and more of these things are becoming more and more. I mean, look at what happened with the Giants on Hard Knocks and the call with Saquon and how that's evolved now into how his feeling.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if Eagles fans, Scott, got to listen to honest and frank discussions about, say, Hassan Reddick or even Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the uproar?
Yeah.
That's why the Eagles want no part of that show.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a smart move. I mean, you do not need this stuff getting out. I think we're reaching the point where you got to wonder what's in it for these organizations to expose themselves like this. And you talk about this, you know, we have no idea what kind of conversations are happening between Bradberry and Howie and Nick and Vic and what's all going on behind the scenes over there. And boy, we certainly have no idea what really went down behind the scenes over there last year. But could you imagine if we had a clear window into everything that was happening behind the scenes last season and even this offseason? It's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy the way poor Joe Shane has been just eviscerated. And look, 99% of this league thinks he made the right decision. Now, the Eagles are in a different frame. They're ready-made. You know, they're not building on the foundation of Saquon Barkley. So what's good for one team might not be good for another. And boy, that gets lost in the context. Like, I think if you ask Howie Roseman, honest, give him the true serum, Scott, and said, should the Giants send Saquon, you'd say, freak, hell no. Hell no, they have nothing. They got to build everything up.
Right.
It makes no sense for them, but that doesn't mean it makes no sense for the Eagles.
No, but it's you know, I go to the conversation, which has been so transparent now, right, that the Giants had with him. There's a lot they said in that conversation that conversation could have been handled a lot better, to be more honest, truthfully, with, hey, circle back to us when you get a number. I mean –
Well, that is being honest in an NFL way. So well, black, which means, all right, see you later.
Yeah, enjoy. Exactly. Well, yeah. But, I with Bradberry, you got to believe there's stuff going on, and his agent is certainly going to try to orchestrate stuff. And, you know, you mentioned the phantom, quote, phantom injury that happened in minicamp. What are we going to see this week? It's probably going to be something similar. He doesn't want to go out there and truly get hurt when he knows it's not here. He wants an opportunity somewhere else.
Yeah, it's true. The human element can't be dismissed. And I think many times it is dismissed because, you know, these guys are, as you mentioned, they're pawns on the chessboard in a way, you know, and sometimes they get reduced to that at the professional level.
It's an
level.
Ugly part of the industry, yeah, but it's a real part of it.
Yes, it is.
And they know it. They say it. It's a business. They understand it, but they still have families and lives. And
exactly. Exactly. That's just because they understand it doesn't mean they're not human beings.
Sure.
Yeah.
Scott, let me ask you about the new coordinators. I mean, we're coming into the season. That's arguably the biggest difference in last year. I mean, there's some roster turnover. You lose some players. But the biggest thing here is you got two new coordinators. They went a whole different route. They went experience coming into the year. How long will it take? How long will the growing pains be coming into the year? You know, you see a lot of times it takes teams, it takes offenses time, you know, to get going with the new coordinator. There's not a lot of off-season work anymore. It's not the old NFL. How long will the growing pains be, or how bad will they be with the new coordinators coming into the year this year?
Yeah, I think when you've got veteran guys like this, they've been through this before and they understand that aspect of it. So I expect that they have a plan to kind of curb that. But you are absolutely right. There are not the reps out there that they used to have with these guys and the opportunities to really get through some of that learning curve that needs to take place on both sides of the ball when you have new coordinators like this. Now, the joint practices certainly will help when they get to that point. You know, that's when you get some actual, quote, live bullets kind of flying at you and an opportunity to work with your guys on some of that stuff. But they will not take it. I mean, we know they will not be out there. This first team offense, I don't expect to be out there during the preseason. And so you end up having the first, what, 2-3 weeks of the regular season is the new preseason. We all have heard that saying before.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're really going to see the growing pains come out. Now, at the same token, look, the Packers are looking at the Eagles and going, we don't really know what they're going to do, and they've got to go into this blind figuring it out. So, you know, the more the Eagles can be on, you know, the same page on both sides of the ball between the coordinators and their players and the guys actually running the plays that need to be run and being where they're supposed to be and knowing where other guys are going to be while they're on the field without having to turn their head and look, communication, all that stuff. The more the Eagles are on their P's and Q's with that at the beginning of the season, I think the more likely they are to start the season undefeated through the first few weeks because the opponents just don't know what's coming yet. Now, to answer your question, I'm very excited to see what Kellen Moore does with this. Man, you got the keys to a really, really nice looking vehicle here.
Yeah, you just got a Ferrari handed to you. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you rev that engine a little bit. And when you go to shift that thing in gear, it's going to purr real nice. I mean, that's what he's thinking, you know. And I got to believe that he has been chomping at the bit to get to this week and just really start pushing forward to get going with these guys and move these pieces into place. Now, we do know there's questions on that offensive line. You know, and health is always an issue with every team and every player out there. But if these guys can stay healthy, they've got the weapons to be able to do a lot of things. And I look at, you know, at Vic Fangio then to flip it on its side and say, listen, Vic, I don't need you to pitch shutouts here. You know, in my opinion, I don't even think he needs to keep teams to less than 17 points. This offense should score enough that I just need you to keep the opponent to 20 or less. And this team should have a chance to win every game. But I'm very excited to see what these coordinators do. Vic Fangio obviously has a much harder job than Kellen Moore to get a lot of these moving pieces into place and ready to go. Just because he's got a lot, you know, he's got a lot less experienced guys out there who need to get going. And look, guys, I'm not sold on linebackers still. I just
You shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be.
Well, that's where I was going, and you sort of went there on your own, Scott. It's like, all right, if Kellen Moore's got the Lambo,
right,
and you know, it's going up 140, and NFL players, please stop doing that. you know, occasionally you need service. And maybe you got to get a rental car for the day. And Vic's got the Ford Focus. It's like, all right, you know, brand new. I'm not killing Ford Focuses, but you know, there's some things. But it's
doesn't
not a
run
Lambo.
Like a Lambo, Johnny Mac. That's for sure. Yeah.
So I mean, at some point, it's like I think the plan was, Scott, all right, offense. Let's build. I don't want to see dream team because of the connotations of Philadelphia, but. Say all-star team, and then it's Vic will figure it out on defense. I don't like that. It's still about talent. And I have high hopes for Bryce Huff. I think he's going to be a good player. I think Quinyon Mitchell, to Xander's question, is he's going to be the day one starter in Brazil. I think he's going to be a good player. I think Reed Blankenship is underrated. CJ's back. Linebackers, I'm with you. I don't know what to think. I think the depth chart is exactly the same. I think if you play Devin White or Ben Van Sumeren, you're going to get the same level of play. The whole depth chart is like that. Is it too much on Vic Fangio?
I think it will be from the you know the fans' perspective. It's all going to look at, and if it doesn't start out pretty, everybody's going to want to blame Vic. And I don't think that's fair. I think you know, in terms of what we were talking about, you know, verbiage and plays, and you've got a lot of young players on that side of the ball, which is not a bad thing, but, you know, you need to get all those guys on the same page and some of them need to be brought up to speed. Now you're expecting big things and he is, and the Eagles are from Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. And I think that's fair. They need to step up. You know, what will Nolan Smith give them this year? You know, that's a big question. I do like the addition of Bryce Huff, but that's all up front. And then it's what are you going to fill in behind that? And we have legitimate concerns at linebacker and what will that do against stopping the run? You know, I just think you play the dominoes down from there, but to your point, I think the pressure is on Vic because he will be the first one to be blamed if it's not working. And I don't think that's fair. I think that, you know, you have to allow this scheme is going to take some time to build in on that side of the ball. It's a lot easier to go run a play when you know where you're going. As a defender, you've got to stop the guy who you don't know where they're going. And And communication is such a big thing on defense. We saw that last year, the lack of it and the lack of understanding and knowing where.
Especially in this defense, Scott, because it's so complicated. Yeah.
And if they can get all that, you know, it could end up being really good. I just think there's going to be some speed bumps, particularly early in the season on that side of the ball. And I think fans need to be guarded for that. You need to understand that there's going to be some issues on that side of the ball early in the season that hopefully will get corrected, because there's no better teacher than, you know, live bullets, real life experience and film that you're going to get from those early games that I think these guys can learn from. But I think it's unfair if it all comes down on Vic, but certainly as a guy, you know, driving the Ford Focus, he's got to try to keep it on the road, and that does fall on him.
Well, I want to add something to this conversation, because we just talked about it with the players. I want to add the human element, right? Last year, the Eagles offense were the 8th-ranked offense in the NFL, and Brian Johnson is viewed as the biggest failure in the last 5 years of the Eagles. Meanwhile, the defense was the 31st-ranked pass defense in the NFL. So, you know, on the same breath, Kellen Moore might be taking over a Ferrari. But the previous guy just ran a 10-second quarter mile. He's got to beat that. That's a tough task to do. You know, it's kind of a tough – the pressure is high. The expectations are high. How much will that weigh on Kellen Moore where, you know, it's not like they were the crappiest offense in the league and anything is better. He's kind of got to be a really good offense. He's got to drive that thing properly. You know, how much will that pressure weigh on him?
I think it won't unless – they don't come out well in the first, say, 2 weeks. Then I think everybody looks at him and says, whoa, thought you were good. Thought you knew what you were doing. You got all these guys here, and you're not making this thing work.
Yeah, this town's brutal.
And maybe there'll be some truth to that. We don't know until it plays out. That being said, when you look at what happened with the Eagles, and I think all the numbers last year are somewhat skewed because – sure, as much and as high as you say the offense was ranked, you're right, they were. How much was that skewed by that 10-1 start and the things they were doing? AJ Brown putting up 125 yards receiving in what, 6 straight games earlier in the year? It was flat. It was stale. It was predictable. People said that. Everybody, you know, other players were saying it became, they knew it was coming on that offense. So even though it was 8th in the league, it wasn't playing like an eighth ranked offense come playoff time against Tampa. It just was, it was flat. It was still, it was predictable.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's true.
And so you look at what Kellen Moore's job here is, don't let it get that way. Keep adding new wrinkles, do things, use motion like we've talked about. Put these guys in places where they have mismatches and the ability to go out and succeed. Put Dallas Goedert on a corner and let him just go up and be stronger and more physical and make a play. That's I think where, you know, that will be exposed if it's not happening. And that's where the criticism will come down on Kellen Moore for sure. But if this offense doesn't start well, I think people will look to, it'll be either him or Jalen or both, as they're usually the guys who end up taking the criticism. Look, one thing that you can't point at is you won't be able to point at Nick anymore about the offense. They've made it clear. He's hands off. So if there's issues,
which is weird. I haven't even gotten into that, but it's weird. I don't like this setup, Scott. I don't see how anybody can look at this setup. My buddy Marcus Hayes raved about it this week. I don't see how you can look at this setup and say, hey, this is a good idea. You got a head coach who, you know, Marcus claims is a great administrator in Jeffrey Lurie's eyes, and nobody's been around Jeffrey Lurie more than Marcus over the years. I can believe that Jeffrey believes that. But then you have Diana Rossini saying, oh, Howie hired the coordinators. He's not even administrating. Then we're back to, well, what the hell does he do? And by the way, I don't believe that. He did hire the coordinators. But everybody wanted to hire Vic. It's like Vic's white noise. Like everybody wanted Vic. So it really comes down to Kellen Moore, Scott. And I do believe Nick ultimately made the decision of who to hire, whether it was going to be Kellen Moore or Cliff Kingsbury or somebody else. He didn't want to hire him. He knew well, I want to keep my job. This is a pretty good gig.
Right.
And if I want to keep my gig, I got to move away. I got to do something. I don't like the setup, Scott. Well, can you frame it in a good way?
Well, yeah. Well, we talked about the human element of things, right? Let's put ourselves in, and let's have a little exercise here and put ourselves in Nick Sirianni's shoes. You were told what you brought here, what you were doing is not working, and we need to do something different. And it includes you not being part of it. But we want to keep you here.
It's so weird.
By the way, your results were 3 straight playoff appearances and 82 and 17.
And the best record in Eagles history.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right,
which makes it all so complicated. I agree with you. There's no better word to describe it than weird. It is weird. But you add the human element side of it, and it's like, you know, where is Nick right now? Mentally, emotionally. Now, he's had time to kind of embrace this. And I believe somebody like Nick has put his mind and his head all around this and said, you know what? I'm now going to be the best head coach only that I can be. And I think he will embrace that, and he will find a way to try to do that. Obviously, the Eagles like something that he's doing behind the scenes. I think they like the way he's been a motivator. Will he carry himself differently on the sidelines? That's something I'm looking for this year. Will he quote, grow up a little bit and not be, you know, the demonstrative child on the sidelines that is over and talking for the camera and yelling at fans off the game? Will you know, or will he still be that guy? I think some of that remains to be seen. But you know, and he was told, we want you to do this, but we don't want you to do that anymore. I don't care who you are, that affects you.
Yeah,
and I'll be curious to see how he handles that and himself and handles his weekly responsibilities. And
by the way, Scott, he loved doing it. That was his favorite part of the job, was putting together the offensive game plan.
And he's still a young guy. I mean, you know, to be told that we don't want you to do that, but we want you to do this.
And that's a good frame. And it's bad. And overall, because the way you described it, Scott, which I think you did very well, where we want you, we no longer want you to do this, but do that. That nobody's taken that well. They might put on a good face in public. Nobody.
Over time, you can get to hearing the message, right? But your first thought is, wait, you're not hearing, I want you to do this. What you're hearing is, wait, you brought me here to do this, and now you don't want me to do that. What are we doing? And I think that's not to be underrated here as to how you know, Nick goes through camp as the administrator or the CEO of the team, as they say, how he goes through the first few weeks. I think it's going to be. I think I'm somewhat fascinated to watch that side of things.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest story of the year. I really do. How Nick integrates with Kellen and Kellen integrates with Jalen Hurts. And
how do they work on the sidelines together? How do they communicate what we see, right?
And to Xander's point about the offense, situationally, you talk about getting better. They have to get better. Well, they were number one in fourth down offense. Large part of that is the tush push. You no longer have Jason Kelce. We'll see how that shakes out. They were number three in third down offense in the entire NFL. They were better in third down offense in 2023 than they were in 2022. Those are the kind of standards you not only have to reach, you have to surpass. With a lot of expectations. And if I'm Nick Sirianni, see, what I think Nick did, Scott, is he had the political savvy that Doug Peterson did not and realized, look, I got one shot. I got one mulligan. If we lose, I'm out anyway. But if we win, if we have another special season, Kellen Moore's probably out because he's going to get hired somewhere else. And then Nick can step back into the vacuum. I think that's his strategy.
Well, and I think you're right. I think he is more savvy than Doug was in this moment, because if it also doesn't work and he's out, to what Xander said, his resume.
Yeah, he's gone. Well, yeah, he's going to get another.
It's a strong resume, and it shows he was willing to play nice in the sandbox, which I think owners like. So, you know, I think he set himself up for what amounts to a win-win, and certainly the path he would prefer to take is this team goes and wins a Lombardi Trophy, and you're right. And Kellen Moore is revered for his offense, and he goes. And I think what the Eagles are hoping is, hey, did you learn something from while he was here? That you can
apply. And then you simply say, yes, I did, and you step back into that vacuum.
Right.
Which I think you can sell pretty easily, to be honest. Because nobody's firing the Super Bowl winning coach.
No.
Coming off the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I think it's an easy path. Now, very difficult to go to the Super Bowl, never mind win it. So we'll see how that shakes out, but it's good to get Scott Grayson back. Good to see you, buddy, at S Grayson Fox 29 on X, Twitter, whatever you like to call it. Exciting season. Give us your prediction. Yeah, how many wins we're talking about?
You know, maybe you can call me a little too optimistic, but I'm going 13.
13?
Wow, I had Scott. I'm with you, Scott. That's how I had.
There we go.
Now, Jody used to have this exercise. I'm going to give it to you. If you had to go one up or one down, which way are you going?
Original. It is a good question. I would probably go one down because I feel like I took the 12 mark and I was like, yeah, I think they got another one in there. But let's face it, at 12-5, they win this division too. I just think, you know.
USA Today's got them winning the division at 10-7.
Mm.
10-7.
Yeah, I like 13-4. I think things work in their advantage again. The unknown, what are they going to run? How are they going to run it early in the season? And then as they – I just don't think they slip into predictability as much as they did last year. And I like the horses on this offense. Now, of course, the great equalizer. Injuries always could change things. But
Well, that's built in any team. I mean, sure.
It is a good take, though, Scott, on that. You know, as much as we're waiting to see how fast it clicks – other teams have no idea what to expect. The Packers have no idea what to expect, really, coming into game one. Is it the same Jalen Hurts? Is it a different? What's the offense look like? So that's a good perspective, too.
Yeah, and, you know, really, how much are we going to see Jalen run? Or are we not going to at all? You know, I'll be curious to watch that evolve, too.
I hope he's going to run some.
He's got to run some. It's just part of his tool set.
Yeah. I don't want to see that change. Yeah. I don't want to see Brock Purdy. I will say that.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to see that. Well, Scott, the season is officially here. The waiting is done. They report to camp today. We appreciate you checking in on Birds 365 today. Make sure you guys follow Scott on Twitter at sgrayson_fox29 and follow all his work on Fox 29. Scott, we appreciate you being here today, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. You got it, Xander. John, good talking to you guys too.
And thanks, Scott. Thanks for joining us on Birds 365. Great stuff from Scott Grayson. Camp is here, everybody. I am beyond excited. A lot of anticipation, a lot of discussion, a lot of talk all offseason long. Now we will get some real tangible answers to the things we've been talking about. Been a good show today with Johnny Mack. We had Bill Colarulo in hour one, Scott Grayson, as you just listened to in hour number two, and some good stuff. So I just want to remind everybody real quick as well. Programming note, tomorrow morning, no Birds 365 from 8 to 10 a.m. We will have some other form of content right now. Tomorrow, I think it's just going to be me and you chopping it up for a little bit at 8 a.m., but we will have Birds 365 tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., a nighttime edition tomorrow and Thursday because John has to get down to NovaCare. A lot of stuff going on tomorrow. So make sure you guys are tuned in tomorrow night. I'll be looking forward to talking to you guys 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. So we'll do a late edition of Birds 365. So remember that when you check in the morning, and we are not here in the morning. 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. I expect to see all you guys there. We appreciate your support as always. Let's take one more commercial break and we'll come back and wrap up this Camp Reporting Day edition of Birds 365. Stay tuned, everybody.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big.